This young man came from Scotland a number of years ago, and I came from Kenora, Ontario a few years ago. So that's our background. I'm very happy to see my friends here, really and truly. I have a cousin here, my oldest cousin, and her husband, and I'm very, very pleased to see them here today, Louise and Don. Maybe I'm not supposed to mention names. Oh, there's no law against that. And Martin, my good friend Martin, and his lovely wife, Miss Hebert, over 91 years of age, come out tonight, and I really appreciate that. And I have my friend Eva and Waldek, a Polish couple from Poland, but they've been in Canada now for 25 years or so. And we're happy to have you people here, and we welcome you here, and we have a message of love. You know, I always tell people, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover. So, this is a message of love. Well, you know, it's hard. Some people are hard to follow when they're such good speakers, but I'm going to do my best. I'm going to turn to Acts 26. Chapter of Acts, verse 26. I would like to read from the first verse, but time wouldn't probably permit, so I'll start at the verse 14. And it's the Apostle Paul's testimony before King Agrippa. Now, if you're a Christian and a believer, you know how difficult it is to tell somebody about your faith. Well, here's the Apostle Paul. He's not just telling anybody. He's telling a king, King Agrippa, about his testimony. And the reason he's telling them this testimony is the Jewish people gathered him up and put him in prison because they were accusing of this thing and that thing and the other thing and threw him in prison. And Paul said, there's no reason to put me in prison or to take my life. I will speak for myself in front of King Agrippa. And this is what he's doing. Now, if you read from verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying, this is when Saul was on his road to Damascus, and saying to me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day witnessing both to the small and to the great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be first, that he should arise from the dead, and he should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. God lend his blessing to the reading of his precious word. And needless to say, I'm very, very enthusiastic. I'm very, very excited to be here because I have some of my friends here. And life consists of good friends. And I have good friends here tonight. And I'm very thankful that you have taken the time to be with us. I'm enthusiastic. Enthusiasm comes from the Greek word theolete, which means God within. God within, like a fire burning in you and causing you to be excited and to give your message forth with fear and favor, and a pleasant way to do it. But Jesus was by far the most influential and best known person that ever lived. I mean, nobody can disagree with that. Now, if I were to quote Winston Churchill or Abraham Lincoln, you would all perk up your ears because they were very famous individuals. But if you were to ask them about the Lord Jesus, they would probably answer you the same way a Nicodemus did. They would say, I know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. These men knew that Jesus was the Son of God. There's all kinds of proof for that, but in case there's any doubt, I'm going to run through a few that will help us. If he was so influential, why did they seek to put him to death? Well, the Jewish people were looking for a Messiah. And they were expecting a Messiah to come. And when Jesus came on the scene, he was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. But they didn't accept him as that. And they didn't like him claiming that he was. And they were going to do all kinds of things to make his life miserable. And right from day one, King Herod was on his case and trying to kill him, put him away. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ was able to go here and there and make his way. Why, in infancy, he startled a king. At 12 years of age, he puzzled the doctors. The first miracle he created was turning water into wine at the wedding in the Cana of Galilee. And the wedding guests claimed it was the best wine at the whole wedding. So the Lord Jesus Christ had a lifestyle that caused people to be upset with him. You know anybody that has a lifestyle that causes people to be upset with him? I think I do. And they were upset with him because he had the answer to life's problems. He could tell about things that happened in the Old Testament time, and he could tell what's going to happen in the future. Well, why? That's why they were so upset with him. And they were going to put him away, give him a hard time. And that's not what Christ came for. So let's try to track Jesus' life for a few moments and to give you a grasp of what he's having up to. Jesus was born in a manger, not the most elegant place to be born. But anyways, even though he was born there, they still were out to get him. Well, when he first met a man who was crippled for 38 years, what did he do? He says, take up your bed and walk. Well, that even upset the Jewish people. Because who else in that day and age could tell somebody to take up their bed and walk? Jesus could. That upset the Jewish people. Jesus said that, I am the bread of life. Well, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. While being the bread of life, he satisfies the longing in our heart. He fills the vacuum in our heart. When Christ comes into our life, he kills all or satisfies all the longings that might be. He gives that we have full fellowship with a person spiritually by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus spake unto them and says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ complained to be the light of the world because that's exactly what he was. He came in as the light of the world, and people wanted to follow him and understand him. The people who wanted to were the disciples and the disciples' followers. In John 10:9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, and he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Well, the door is only a four-letter word. That's not difficult to understand because we've all come through a door, a passageway, to get in here. And that's what Jesus claimed to be. He was the door. There's no other way to enter heaven than by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the door. So, it pays us to understand and get to know the door, which is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how did he make those arrangements for us to enter the kingdom of heaven? Well, first of all, he came into the world to meet a need. You see, man was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, born on the broad road to lost destruction. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But when Jesus came along, he says, I'm the door. You don't have to carry on in this broad road to lost destruction. You can enter through me to the door of eternal life. Well, Jesus making such claims, why, the Jewish people got more upset than ever. But that's what Christ came for, was to save men and women. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Well, you know how good a good shepherd looks after his sheep. He takes his sheep over to the still waters. And it isn't even rippling it. And he lets the sheep drink their water and satisfy their thirsty soul. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does for his sheep. He leads them beside the still waters and lets them have the water of life to satisfy the thirst in their life. Yes, otherwise, he cares for them and looks after them. The psalmist David could say, Psalm 20, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isn't that a wonderful promise? If you have the Lord as your shepherd, you'll have no want. Your wants will be satisfied. Why, if you go down the street here, everybody wants something they can't get a hold of. But if you know Jesus Christ as your shepherd, you have your wants are satisfied. I am the light of the world. Whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Well, there's lots of darkness out there, and that's why the Apostle Paul was called to bring people to the light. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, in him the same bringeth more but fruit. And without me you can do nothing. Well, Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. We have to be connected to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to bear fruit. Because the life comes through him. It's a spiritual life. And he can bless us and be fulfilled in being part of the vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. All I'm mentioning these verses for is to show that Jesus Christ was somebody special. He claimed to be these things, but he didn't only claim, he was. He was those very things. When he spoke of the Old Testament, he could mention Moses. He didn't even live in Moses' time, but he says, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he spoke of me, he wrote of me. And he says, in other places, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Well, what was it like in Noah's day? God said the wickedness was so great upon the earth that he repented that he made man. But he found one man that was righteous. His name was Noah. Noah was married and had three children, and they had wives. God spoke to them and says, I'm sorry that I made man. I'm going to destroy the earth. I want you to build an ark so big that your family can go in and all the animals two by two, because I'm going to open the heavens and pour out the water and flood the earth. Noah believed God and he set out to build an ark. The other people mocked him and jeered him, and every time he felled a tree to put into that ark, was a message that judgment was coming. God was going to punish the people of that day. And when he got the ark all built and the family went in and the animals, well, you can imagine how frustrated the people were that didn't listen to him. They didn't believe him. And we have the same situation today. People don't want to hear these things. But the ark was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who went in and accepted it by faith were saved. those who believe the message of salvation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and believe him and claim him, will be saved for all eternity. Now that's the message that Noah sent. Jesus referred to Lot. He says, remember Lot's wife. Well, back there in Sodom and Gomorrah, well, first of all, Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen were not getting along too well. And Abram says, listen, Lot, we can't have this problem between our herdsmen. So we're going to settle it this way. You can take whatever part of the land you want. If you take what's on the right, I'll take what's on the left. If you take what's on the left, I'll take what's on the right. Well, Lot looked around. He saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Sodom was a wicked, wicked city like you wouldn't believe. And for him to pick Sodom and to raise his family there was really something. But that's what he did. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Eventually, God was so fed up with Sodom and Gomorrah that he said he was going to send fire from heaven and destroy the cities. But first of all, he wanted to get a message to Lot and his wife to get out of that city so they wouldn't be destroyed. And they finally got convinced to leave, took Lot and his wife and their two daughters out of that wicked city. They were told not to look back. But Lot's wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. That's what Jesus says, remember Lot's wife, warning time and time again about different areas of judgment that can come upon people. I think I'll have a drink of this. And he says, as in the days of Jonah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Why, Jonah was an interesting person. He was supposed to go to Nineveh and preach righteousness. But he bought a ticket, like some of us would do probably, and got on a ship and went to Joppa. Completely opposite of what God wanted him to do. And when he got on the ship started into a storm. It was just all kinds of trouble. The waters were bad. You know what it's like riding on the sea when things are even good, it's bad. But this waters were really rough. And people on the ship, what are we going to do? Somebody's caused this. So they drew lots. And the lot fell on Jonah. You're the cause of this storm that we're having so much problem. Well, what are we going to do about it? It's your fault, Jonah. Jonah says, well, throw me overboard. So they picked Jonah up and threw him overboard. And just fortunately, God had prepared a great fish, a whale, to swallow up Jonah. When Jonah was in the whale belly for 3 days, he prayed to God. And he asked God for this, he asked God for that. And then the whale spewed him out. And that's what Jesus is referring to as Jonah was 3 days in the whale belly, so must the Son of Man be dead for 3 days before the cross of Calvary. Well, those are some facts to prove that Jesus Christ was not just a normal man. He was the Son of God. He was the light of the world. He was all those things he claimed to be. Now, when Jesus appeared to Paul and told him, here's what he said, I'm commissioning you to do this. I want you to go and open people's eyes. They were spiritually blinded. They didn't see things the way they should. Now, if you asked a blind man what he would like more than anything else in the world, he'd say he'd like to have his sight. Well, you know, it would be wonderful if people who were spiritually blind would want to have their eyesight and see things that way. Well, that's what Paul was commissioned to do, to turn them from darkness to light. You and I know that the darkness of this world just manufactures one evil act after another. I don't even have to remind you, and it's already been mentioned, that you go out on the street, you know what's happening. You know the difficulties and problems that are happening on the street. It's not hardly safe to walk down the street. But Paul told Jesus, turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. that they might receive the forgiveness of sins. Why, when Satan grabs a hold of these people, he just plays with them like a cat plays with a mouse. And he gets them into all kinds of difficulties and problems. The only hope for them to get out of Satan's grasp is to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, you say, Jerry, you're pretty serious. I haven't always been as serious. But I'll tell you what, when a few things happen to you in your life, you kind of change, you know. Being in business, you don't maybe think about these things, but one evening I made a land deal about 7 o'clock in the evening. I phoned my lawyer up at 7 o'clock. I said, Jack, I've just made a land deal. Can you handle that? He said, Jerry, don't worry about it. Come over to the house right away. Come over right away. Oh, I race over to his house, and I'm all excited about telling him about this land deal. And he's, no, don't talk about that. Don't talk about it. He's sitting there with his hands going through his hair like this. His wife just took her life 3 weeks prior to this. And he was just beside himself. And I couldn't read what he wanted. He says, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. Tell me something else. He wanted me to tell him about the Lord, because he knew I knew the Lord. But I was so taken up with business and activities, I didn't tell him a thing about the Lord. I sat there for 2.5 hours with him that evening while he was going through this. I was the last man to see him alive. That night he took his life with a rope around his neck. That's why I'm serious, because people need help. They don't always tell you, help me, but we have to be able to read these things. And I wasn't able to read that. I'm definitely sorry, because his wife and his wife was my wife's best friend, and vice versa. And it was a sad situation, and those things happen. One time there was a druggist. He liked to tell people about the Lord Jesus, and he had a chemist there that prepared the drugs, and he was telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the chemist, he made fun of this. And finally, the pharmacy man said, listen, I'm not going to bring this subject up anymore. I'm just going to leave you with one thing found in Psalm. Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and you will glorify me forever. Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and glorify thee forever. Ha! The druggist laughed that off. Anyways, it was a girl come running into the store with a prescription. He made the prescription up pretty quick because he wasn't happy about this. And the girl took off with the prescription. And then the chemist started putting stuff away. He realized he had given her poison instead of something else. He raced to the door, tried to find the young girl. He couldn't see her. It was dark out there. He couldn't find her. He come back into the store, and he was wringing his hands, and he fell on his knees. He says, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver thee. And he pleaded with God to deliver him from such a terrible, terrible mistake. And while he was there on his knees calling out to God, there was a knock at the door. He went to the door, and here was the young girl with her face bathed in tears. In her hand was a neck of a broken bottle. She says, I was so anxious to get home, I tripped and fell. Oh, the druggist says, don't worry about it. Come right in. And he filled the prescription again with the right one. God was able to take care of that for him when he called upon thee in the time of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Yes, my friend. There was two fellows that were playing a card game. They were very good friends, and one of the fellows was a very nice fellow. Everybody thought he was terrific. But he got angry, and he pulled out a gun and shot the other fellow. He was charged with murder, sentenced to be hanged. But people in the surrounding area in the city sent in petitions to the governor. Please don't let this happen. He's a wonderful man. And the governor, he was a Christian man, with tears in his eyes. He wrote out a pardon for this fellow that shot the man. And he took the pardon over to the prison to see the prisoner. And he says, I want to see you. Get out of here, the prisoner. I don't want to have anything to do with you. No, 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 no. He says, I have something for you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Now get out of here or I'll get the guards to get you out of here. Well, finally the governor left the prison. Sometime later, the warden came along and went to visit the prisoner and says, well, I see you had a visitor today. Yeah. He says, well, what did you think of that? He says, I told him to get out of here. I want nothing to do with him. Well, the warden says, just a minute. That was the governor of the state, and he had in his hand a pardon for you to release you. What? That's right. He says, I thought he was a minister of the gospel. No, he wasn't. He had a pardon for you. Well, the prisoner says, quick, give me some paper and a pen and ink. And he wrote a letter of apology to the governor and said he was very, very sorry and it should have never happened and so on. The letter was delivered to the governor. The governor read the letter. He turned it over and he wrote on the back, no longer interested in this case. The day came for him to be hung on the scaffold. And they said, now, do you have anything you'd like to say before we spring the scaffold? He says, yes. I would like to tell the young men of America that I'm not being hung because I committed a murder. I was pardoned of that by the governor. I am being hung because I didn't accept the pardon. Pretty sad. But that's a picture of many people in the world today. Their sins will be forgiven. All they have to do is accept the pardon that the Lord Jesus Christ paid to see them go free. Won't you do that right where you're sitting now? Accept the pardon of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will give you eternal life. Well, there's lots more that could be said about that. But I want to thank you for your time and your interest. And now, at this time, we'll have a word of prayer. Following the prayer, you can go downstairs and have a bite to eat or coffee and tea. Shall we pray? Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, in the name of Thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for Thy goodness and mercies toward us. We thank You for the folks sitting around here tonight, and we pray You'll bless Thy word in a very special way.